So if you would now, please stand for the reading of God's word found in the book of Joshua, chapter 7.
Hear the word of the Lord. The people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Father in heaven, what a joy it is to be with your people. What a joy it is to be reminded of the gospel, of our deep need of your wrath, which was poured out on your son, that we might not have it poured out on us. The hope that comes from knowing your love is perfect, that you've done everything necessary, including giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he might persuade us and help us understand the very words that you've given us in Scripture. Lord, you've told us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Oh, Father, knowing that we are righteous because of Christ's righteousness, we ask that you would make us see and think and hear and feel and act as the people of God should act in response to the wonder of the cross. Lord, open our eyes, open our minds, open our ears and our hearts, that this message may go deep, particularly as it brings us to the table, where we then feast on what you've done, remembering your promises. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Next to David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba, I don't know in Scripture a more clear confession of sin. Listen again to what Achan said, verse 19 of chapter 7. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And this is what Achan said. He answers Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did." Do you confess your sins that way? I used to not. I confessed my sins using words that were pretty comfortable for me to confess. It's not inappropriate necessarily, but when you become more specific with your confession, "and this is what I did," you begin to see that sin is far more heinous than some of the words we give to it. Lust, for example, it's not difficult to say, "Lord, forgive me of my lust." But if I say, "and this is what I did," suddenly it's far more dark, far more ugly, far more heinous. I wonder if ever you've confessed your sin that way. "And this is what I did." Achan does. And I think he gives us a model that's quite beautiful, so to speak. "And this is what I did." I want to paint the context for a minute. Israel has just witnessed the Lord destroying the people of Jericho. The walls have come down. His wrath has been poured out. And he instructed the people of Israel, "Go through the walls, but do not take of its plunder." It's been very specific. God told Joshua what to say. And Joshua, in the pattern you see throughout the book, is faithful. He knows that the Lord is leading him. He knows that the Lord has called him. He knows that the Lord won't forsake him. But Achan, moving with the people of Israel, through the rubble, through the walls. He sees something, and then he sins. But he's specific. Look with me again. Verse 21. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Okay. It's simple. I saw it and it was beautiful. I coveted it, and then I took it. And when I took it, I hid it, because I knew I wasn't supposed to take it. The Lord had said so through his servant Joshua. Sin is beautiful. That's why we are attracted to it. It is. Sin is beautiful. That's why I appreciate Achan's honesty. When I saw the cloak, when I saw that it was beautiful, I took it. What is it that you are tempted to look at that is beautiful, but is outside the realms of God's boundaries, outside of what he's declared is right for you? All of us have something. All of us have many things. But they appear to us to be beautiful. They appear to us to be light. They appear to us actually to give us life. And we see it. It's in the hundreds and hundreds of images that come at us every day that seek to proclaim what real life is, what truth is. It's beautiful. Think of David. When all kings are at war, David wasn't at war. He wasn't on the front lines. He was on his balcony. And there was a beautiful woman. And he coveted her. And he looked at her and he took her. Sin is beautiful. Do you see the pattern? You can see it so clearly because Achan confesses. And this is what I did. It was beautiful. I wanted it. I took it. And I hid it because I knew I wasn't supposed to have it. If we were to trace our temptation, our sin patterns to the ultimate conclusion, what would it show us? It would show us indeed something very ugly, not beautiful. I want you to think for a moment about your life and about your own sin patterns. I want you to pick just one, and I want you to trace it as far as you can to what the ultimate conclusion would be. Just take a moment. If it is lust, men, think about what might happen. Think about what might happen to your conscience, your marriage, your parenting, your relationships at work, your relationships with other women. What might happen? Perhaps it's deception or lying or gossip. What would happen if you traced it all the way to the end? What potential consequences are there? I'm convinced if David on that balcony had stopped for a moment when his eyes had seen Bathsheba, he can't help that he saw her. This is the difference between what Tim Tinsley said about a year ago, between a glance and a gaze. I can't control many of the things I see. Some things I can, but I can keep myself from gazing. But David didn't. He saw, and she was beautiful, and he coveted her. And he took her. But what if for a moment he had paused and said, if I can see into the future what this is going to mean, what would he have done? Here's what he would have seen. She's going to get pregnant. My throne is going to be defamed. I'm going to kill her husband to protect my name. I will be a murderer. And the consequences in my family and kingdom, well, will be severe. If David could have seen that, if he could have stopped for a minute and said, this looks so beautiful. Wait, no, the ultimate end is not beautiful. Would he have paused? So what about you? Where did you end up? Likely, every person here stopped short of what the ultimate conclusion would be. The ultimate conclusion of you chasing down that sin, tracing where it would go, because here's where it ends. It doesn't end with the consequences that happen to you and to me as a result of our sin. It's far worse. Keep going. It all ends at a place called Golgotha, with a man on the cross that you and I murdered. Sin is not beautiful. It deceives us into thinking it's life, but it's not. And every sin that was ever committed ends there as the wrath of God is poured out on His Son. And so what do you see when you're there? You see a Savior who says, my God, why have you forsaken me? There at that moment, the Father's wrath being poured out so it wouldn't be poured out on us. And Jesus takes it willingly in obedience to His Father because He loves us, because of the riches of His mercy, His compelling love. So He hangs there being mocked. And then He shouts out, "It is finished. The wrath of God has been satisfied." Amazing. But that is where sin leads us. But you see, something else is present. It's a cross that then is empty because Jesus isn't there. He rose. He conquered death. Death has been crushed to death. He is victorious. And so now He lives to reign. He reigns as King. He lives to intercede on our behalf. And indeed, it is beautiful. It's a beautiful, scandalous mountain where we see God's victory over sin and over death. But we don't take our sin that serious. And what that means is when we come to a table like this, for many it's just a ritual, kind of a beautiful, sanctimonious thing that we do occasionally, but it's more. It is truly the touch and feel and smell of the gospel, reminding us of what He's done. You were guilty, and so was I, but He sets us free. Hallelujah. It's amazing. And so Achan, in the context of God's glory and in the context of worship, says, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord, and this is what I did. I looked at something, I coveted it, I took it, and I hid it." This morning, as I was standing right here, some of you weren't here yet, there were several children on each of these steps. I then moved up there playing hide and go seek. It didn't go very well. One of the boys said very quickly, "He's over there." And then when I came back down, I said, "Who said that?" He said, "I did, because I peeked. And this is what I did." He was honest. He broke the rules. What are you hiding right now? What are you hiding? What are you hiding from your spouse? What are you hiding from one another? What do you think you're hiding from God? He knows. Take it from that hiding place. Chase it to where it's going to end. And it's going to end at the cross. And there at the cross, hide yourself in Him. Hide yourself in Him. Eve saw that the fruit was beautiful, so to speak. And she took it. And when she did, death entered the world. Adam and Eve made garments for themselves as shame and guilt and fear consumed them. And God said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "We were naked, so we hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" And at the end of that chapter, God makes coverings for His people because the ones Adam and Eve made were not good enough. Eve looked at the fruit and it was pleasing to her eye, and she thought it would be good. It promised life. But it didn't. It ushered in death. Whatever you are hiding has promised you life, but it will not give you life. It will only give you death. So chase it to the ultimate end, and it's Christ, risen from the dead, victorious over even that which you're afraid to reveal, and hide yourself in him. Achan said, and this is what I did. What I want you to do for a few moments is I want us to have private confession before we go to public confession. As you do, I encourage you to use the prayer, and this is what I did. But after a few moments of silent confession, I want you to hear this. Hear what God says, and this is what I did. It is finished.